Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everyone who is joining us via Facebook, via YouTube, those who are going to watch this later on a recording. Hallelujah. Welcome to a day that the Lord has made. Amen. Amen. This is Taylor's Tabernacle. We are a Bible-based church in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. 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 We're happy and delighted for everybody who can join us today. Again, be it online or in the sanctuary, that we can just get in the Lord's presence this morning and hear his word. Amen. 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 I'm going to open us up with a prayer so that we can prepare the atmosphere for the word of God that we are about to hear. Amen. Amen. If we could all stand, if we're capable, please stand. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That your presence would, hallelujah, fill the sanctuary right now. That your presence would fill every household that's watching right now, oh Lord. That this morning, glory, 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 whatever we're worried about, we put it down right now. Hallelujah. Whatever we've been stressed about, we put it down right now. Hallelujah. So that we can hear your word. Hallelujah. For the more word that we hear and the more that we pray, the more the things that have been in our way will just be moved by you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for promising that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry. Thank you for coming down and dwelling among men, that you could teach us, that you could prepare us, and that you could sacrifice yourself for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just to think of what you endured because you loved us. Lord, forgive us, for we go off on the slightest thing. But you endured so much. You are the king, and you endured so much because you loved us. Hallelujah. When no little pain you went through it for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you made sure, hallelujah, that your word was recorded. Hallelujah. You've made sure that your word is preached and taught. Hallelujah. Then you waited on us. You knew us before we were even born. You knew the foolishness we were going to get involved in. And you waited on us. Hallelujah. To seek after you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your great love, hallelujah. Your great love that has carried us, that has healed us, that has led us, that comforts us. Thank you, Lord. Right now, Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds. If our hearts have become hardened, soften them right now. That we would be good ground this morning. And that you would write the word on the fleshy tables of our heart. A word that would be stitched into our heart. That we could make it through this next day and week and going forward. We thank you for the opportunity. The opportunity. To hear your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to call on you. And we thank you for answering. Be with us this day, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In your name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read our scripture this morning. I'm going to be coming from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to make sure I get the exact verses. I think I started at 21. 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 21. I'm going to read 21 through 25. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 to 25. Verse 21 reads, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Amen. Amen. Let us be blessed by that word that was just read. Amen. Amen. Now, I hope our hearts and minds are prepared. We're going to receive a word this morning from our very own Minister Cureton. So at home, get your Bibles, or if you're like me, you got your iPad, get your stuff together. Amen. So that we can hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. With that, our Reverend Cureton is going to come before us.
Good morning, and praise the Lord, saints. So glad that we're here. While we are standing, amen, why don't we go right to the Word of God. We'll be in the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, and as you make your way there, we'll be in the 25th verse. Amen. So glad for those that have joined us, both here in the sanctuary and online from where you might be. One of the verses we'll cover today says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. But you know what else? There's also, and this isn't in the word, but it's just, I'll throw it out there. There's no vacation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Wherever we are today. Amen. Whether we be at, thanks to God for this, streaming online, whether we be, in the mountains, or whether we be along the beach side, or whether we have a staycation where we're staying at home, we can access congregational worship and instruction in the Word of God through the gifts that He's given us. Amen. So we thank God for the live stream on this morning. Amen. Amen. So if you've made your way to the book of Acts, the fifth chapter in the 25th verse, it says this. It says, "So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' The captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?'" Amen. And I thought it was curious that, or interesting that the high priest wouldn't even say Jesus' name. He said, "In this name." Amen. He says, "And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." Verse 29, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So then Gamaliel speaks up in verse 33. It says, when they heard this, the Pharisees, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Amen? For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Amen? Amen to the reading of God's word. You may be seated in the tabernacle today. Amen. We'll take a moment. We've got some coming in at the door. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Thinking across this past week and on some things, I remembered about 1997. Amen. For those of us who go back, and there was a new generation in gospel music coming along, and in particular, there was Kirk Franklin on the scene and God's Property, and they were blowing up the scene with their new release, which was called Stomp. Amen. Some of you might remember it. Sometimes they even still play it. And at the time, Stomp was blowing up the chart, both on the gospel and the R&B charts. Amen. It was popular, and many believers at the time, folks like you and I, some of us were uncomfortable where Brother Kirk was going with this music, where he was going with this new movement that he had, that was just going throughout the nation and throughout the world. And I remember having this conversation over and over. And even there was one time I was watching Pastor Ford's, one of his favorite, all-time favorite television shows. It was the Saturday episode of Soul Train with Don Cornelius. And Don Cornelius that day was introducing the young Kirk Franklin. Here we were, believers, the church, debating if this movement was ungodly or if it was introducing a new generation to the gift of salvation. Amen. And Brother Kirk wasn't alone. There were other artists. Tell me if you remember them. There was Trinity 5-7. Amen. There was Virtue. There was the Cross Movement. And if you don't go back that far, maybe you remember when Ty Tribbett came along. J.J. Hairston. Now there's Elevation Worship. And our brother Kirk Franklin has made his way around. And now he's even released a new one with the gospel-filled team at Maverick City Music releasing their new album called Kingdom. Amen. And all of this pointing to God's word in Acts 5, 38 and 39. How do we look at this movement? But the word says if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop them. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to speak for a little while on the subject, the gospel is clear. Amen. Maybe another way to say it is that the gospel speaks clearly. And we will often find politics and societal frameworks to be confusing. I'm confused when I look at politics. I'm confused when I look at society. But the gospel is always clear. It remains clear. It speaks with clarity, truth, and power to the believer. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, it is by thy grace that we find ourselves here today. Strongholds have imprisoned us, but your truth has set us free. Weapons of war have inflicted pain upon us, O God, but you continue to care for our wounds. Lord, we have even fought against you, yet in return you have offered forgiveness and peace. So this morning, Lord, we declare you are worthy of our attention, you're worthy of our time, and you're worthy of our praise, O God. We desire for your word to be spoken and that our hearts and our minds be transformed to the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Prepare us for the day to come, O Lord. We love you and we bless your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Listen, if you're still awake, amen. If you're not in front of the kitchen right now, if there's still a little room on the couch, I just invite you to jump back a little further in Acts chapter 5 up to verse 12. And there you will find the apostles, and man, they are moving. Amen. So if there's somebody near you, why don't you just tell them powerful ministry? Amen. If you're even by yourself, just speak that out this morning about the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and just say powerful ministry. Amen. Peter and the rest of the disciples moving in the full power of the Holy Spirit, teaching, preaching, and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I looked at this part of it and I had a subtitle for it. It just said the ministry of the apostles was strong. Verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Amen. Powerful ministry. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There also came a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed every one. Amen. Amen. So the ministry of the apostles was strong. Amen. And in this situation, while the apostles were doing their work, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, now, it appeared to me that they were just sitting around. And as they were sitting around, let's read what the word says. But I summarized it to say they became jealous and they looked at what they had and found they had the law. So they used the law to arrest them. Verse 17, it says, the high priest rose up and all they that were with them, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And again, your version might say jealousy. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Amen. So they didn't like what they heard. They didn't like what they saw. They didn't like that they were preaching and teaching in Jesus' name, right? They weren't moving forth their agenda. They were moving forth the Lord's agenda. And so they used what they had, which was the law, and they put them in the common prison. Okay? But listen, the power of God frees them and instructs them. And what do? They go right back to the work of the gospel. Amen? In verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors. Amen. We don't have to guess how they opened. It says the angel of the Lord and brought them forth and said, go, this is the instruction, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Amen. Released from prison, right? Not debating among themselves, okay, where do we need to go hide out, right? Not going, let's go to the next town over, but they go right back to the temple where they're most likely to be seen, to be caught. Amen. And they begin to do the instruction that they were given. Amen. Listen, the captives had been set free, but the words and the instruction of the angels sent them right back to work. Amen. And, they were doing what they were called to do. We continue reading and we find it says the high priest came and they were with them and called the council together and all the Senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. All right. And this is what I took from that. The apostles got up early in the morning to preach and teach. The Pharisees and the Sadducees got up in the morning to do city work, government work, calling a council together, to get involved in politics and what was going on. Amen. But the apostles, the disciples, right, went to the temple early in the morning to preach and teach. But we'll come back to that. Amen. So when the officers came, and at that time, they didn't just have ushers like we do. They had church officers that were armed, right, and that were authorized to do what they had to do to protect the church, to protect the temple at the time, protect the high priest and the others. So they came and they went and they found them not in the prison. They returned and they said, listen, verse 23, the prison truly we found shut with all safety. They were saying, listen, we did our job. It was locked up the way it was supposed to be. The guards were there, it says, and the keepers were standing without before the doors. But when we opened, we found no man within. So they're saying we have no explanation for how they got out. We did what we were supposed to do. It was securely shut. Now, they really just testified to what we already know because they were brought out by the angels, not by men. So they're just testifying to it once again. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then one came and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. Amen. So they knew at this point something was different here. And they knew at this point that this powerful ministry and this the multitudes that were gathering that were with them, they said, let's go and let's just ask them, hey, fellas, will you come with us? Let's not start any trouble, but will you come with us? And the apostles go. They go peacefully. And they're here, verse 27. It says, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, Did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. Verse 30, the gospel, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Amen. So the apostles choose what God told them to do, and they speak the gospel.
Right.
All right. Peter here, he speaks clearly. He doesn't speak long. He doesn't make a lot of accusations, but Peter clearly speaks the gospel. He presents the facts according to what happened in their historical sense and to what the Father has intended for us all along. Amen. Peter speaks the gospel. Amen. And he gives us an example of what we are to do when we are challenged in our faith. Amen. I want you to know that the gospel message is effective. We had to get from verse 12 down to verse 33. We had to see what was going on so that we could understand that the gospel message is effective. Because when in verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. All right. So they were ready. They went, earlier they imprisoned them. Now they were taking counsel. They were making plans that these guys were going to have to go. They went and they pronounced charges that they would be killed, that they would be slayed. But Gamaliel, this is why the gospel is effective.
Right.
Peter didn't have to go through 25 points in his argument.
Right.
He presented the gospel and it reached a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Gamaliel speaks. He was a Pharisee, a doctor of the law, and in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He said, put them outside for a little bit so we can talk. He told the Pharisees, let's talk. Put them outside, let's talk. And he said to them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as to touching these men. Amen. Amen. Touch not mine anointed. Amen. He said, take heed to yourselves. And that's a good message to the church. Amen. He said, Gamaliel continues in verse 36. He says, for before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain and all, and as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Amen. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Amen. Because Peter spoke clearly the gospel. He says, for this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye even be found to fight against God. Amen. So thank God for Gamaliel. Thank God for the gospel message reaching him behind chambers. Amen. And so Gamaliel causes the Pharisees to put a pause on their sentence. And this church is where we sometimes find ourselves. Put just outside of the courtroom. Put right outside of where they're judging us. We're over here, but inside we know that they're judging us. They're planning our demise. They're planning our fate. Amen. We're just outside of the courtroom where those who have power, like the high priest and the council, are about to place judgment. And as believers, we find ourselves constantly having to defend ourselves and to defend the gospel. As believers in Jesus Christ, we often have to find ourselves defending the words of this life that we have chosen. Listen, our courtroom moment might be in the salon or the barbershop. Our courtroom moment might be at the family dinner table or the family reunion. Our courtroom moment might be at the coffee house or on the basketball court. The location of our courtroom may change, but the charges remain the same. We are questioned when we continue to teach, preach, and proclaim gathering in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen. And so, why do we continue to do what we do? Amen. When it came to the apostles, the Pharisees could not deny the power of God was with them because of the signs and wonders that followed their ministry. Likewise, we are confronted by those who do not deny the power of God that is in our lives, but they urge us not to give Jesus the credit. They urge us not to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. They urge us not to call on his name because they're afraid that someone might be offended. Listen, this is what happens because we're the spirit-filled ones. We're often asked to lead in prayer, but they ask us not to pray in the name of Jesus. Can you write that up so it doesn't say his name? They can see the godly wisdom that is in us, and so they call us to join committees. They call us to, hey, can you be a part of our organization? But when we come to the decision and we say, like Reverend Scott told us last week, what would Jesus do? When that's the way we make the call, they're not happy with us. Sometimes they can see our talents and we're sought after as a resource, but we're asked not to credit Jesus Christ as the source of our gift. Quite simply, the world charges you and I the same way as Peter and the apostles. They want us to do what we do, but they charge us not to testify in the name of Jesus Christ. The world would have you to believe that the name of Jesus is too controversial. But believers, today we proclaim that the gospel message is clear. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It was Jesus that saved us and Jesus alone. Listen, I told you at the front side that politics and societal norms are often confusing, but remain steady in the faith. The gospel is clear and the gospel speaks with clarity of truth. In John, the 6th chapter, in the 68th verse, Simon Peter answered him, saying, answered Jesus, he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know you that you are the Holy One of God. Amen. God, you have the words of eternal life. Where should we go? That's why they went back straight back to the temple. Where were they going to go? Glory to his name. Peter and the apostles had come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It was clear to them. There was no other path for them to choose. Is there someone here that knows Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you do, stand firm in your cause. Stand firm in the name of Jesus. Even in the face of the persecution, even in the face of the courtroom, even in the face of the judgment, even in the case that you might offend. Glory to God. Jesus told us back in Luke, I believe it was chapter 12, but he said that our families, he talked about the division, that we would divide ourselves from our families, from our father, from our mother, from our brother, because we would proclaim him. That there would become division. Glory to God. But it's only for a little while. I noticed this about the apostles. They chose to speak. We talked a lot about the temple, but the apostles chose to speak the gospel both in the temple and the neighborhood. If you remember, they continued. They were talking about how they, as they were going through the neighborhood, they would bring the multitudes to them. So they didn't just stay in one place, right? They didn't just stay in the church, but they brought the message out. Today, we as believers, we must ask ourselves, are we separating the gospel from the rest of our life? Are we holding back the message of salvation that we have known to become power for us? Are we keeping quiet about the power of Jesus in our lives in order to protect the system of the Pharisees? The law may afford us a choice, but as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we submit our choice to him. For the Peter and the apostles, it was the law that locked them up, but it was the Spirit that set them free. It was the law that pronounced charges against them, but it was the Spirit that gave them words of defense. I looked at it, and I looked at this wisdom that came from Gamaliel. And it says in verse 40, and I had a little bit of a problem with this, but I had to stay with it for a while, because in verse 40, the other Pharisees, it says, in the council, it says that to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Amen. And so I got to that, and I said, well, Lord, why'd they still have to get beaten? Amen. I'm reading the word, and it says they called them forth. They decided, okay, they agreed with Gamaliel. They agreed with what he said, that if this movement be of God, then they would not be able to stop them. But still, they got beaten. But then I had to pray on it for a little while, and I realized that the charges were that they would be killed. Amen. The charges were that they would be killed, but in the end, they were only beaten. And sometimes I know we may feel weary. We may not feel at our full strength. We may feel that we're being persecuted. We may feel that it's coming at us one after the other after the other. And every time that we stand up for Jesus Christ, something still happens to us. But the word showing us here in the example of the apostles, that even in that situation, the charges of death against you have been dropped. You may have been beaten, but you have now been let go. You have been set free. Glory to God. And if you do what the apostles do, they went right back to work. Verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I told you about Brother Kirk Franklin, and he has a new song, and in this song he says these words. He says, we must have confidence in the gospel. We must have confidence in the resurrection, that Christ was redeemed, and that we also have been redeemed with him. Amen. Come on, this is why you can't miss Wednesday night Bible study. Reverend Lyons taught this just last week on Wednesday, that because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. We can repent from our past mistakes, grab hold of the victory that is in Christ Jesus, get up and walk in the gospel truth if we submit ourselves to him. Amen. Glory to God. We can, this thing can turn around. Hallelujah. The charges, the things they've spoken against you. Hallelujah. Christ has spoken life into you. Glory to his name. We must have confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must believe that we are born again in the Spirit, even if that is foolishness to those around us. Amen. John, the third chapter, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a good guy. He was a Pharisee, but he was a good guy. And he comes to Jesus. And we were reading there, it would say by night. Amen. He was still trying to figure his way out. Jesus replies to him, and as he was, Nicodemus was seeking answers, and he says, verily, verily, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Glory to his name. Why take all that? Glory to his name. Jesus said it. Jesus said you must be a born again believer. Nicodemus didn't understand. He was looking for a different answer. So Jesus had to define it a little bit more. He says, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Amen. And Jesus today desires to send the Holy Spirit to you, that he might complete and transform the work that he desired even before you were in your mother's womb. Glory to his name. Jesus today is ready to receive you. He would not tell you that you must be born again unless he already had a place for you in his kingdom. Amen. Jesus didn't make a mistake when he called your name. He didn't just read, he wasn't just reading down the list and didn't pronounce your name right and you ran up. Glory to God. But he's calling you. Romans 8, the first verse, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All those things washed away. Hallelujah. All those past mistakes washed away. All of those charges that they bring against you washed away. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Romans 10 and 13. This is, it's not hard to do. Romans 10 and 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Call on his name. Call on Jesus. Call him. Listen, when we call on his name, that means call him like you're calling 911. I need help, Lord Jesus. I'm calling on you today. You've given me a promise that if I call on your name, that I will be saved. I often say, Rev, stop giving me that church talk. What's that mean? What does it mean to be saved? Being saved means saved from a relationship, from being without a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Right. Amen. You're going to be eternal one way or the other. But when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you will then spend an eternity with Him. And He is at the right hand of the Father. Listen, if you desire an encounter with Christ Jesus, then you can ask Him into your life right now.
Amen.
Amen. Will you make a choice to follow Jesus Christ? Will you accept grace for your mistakes and allow God's love to come in? The doors of the church are open. Will you come? If you desire this relationship today, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord, I know that I'm not in right relationship with You. I have chosen many causes, but I have not sought after You. I am hearing today the gospel message, the good news that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God, and I need the forgiveness, Lord, that only You can provide. Right now, I receive the covering of grace to call on the name of Jesus Christ, and that because You loved me, hallelujah, You love me in Your earthly ministry, Your shed blood, Your death, and Lord, thank You for Your resurrection. I believe that this fully provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank You, Lord, for saving and forgiving me from my sins today. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen, if you've accepted this call to salvation today, receive it in faith and know that it is done. Know that Jesus has come to you even right now. Amen. You have moved closer to God and God has moved closer to you. His Spirit is coming with the indwelling. And now you must connect with other Christians, connect with others in the body of Christ, that we might be strengthened together. Amen. And that we might learn together what it is that we must do. What is this walk? What is this life that we have been called to? Amen. So listen, if you're online with us today, if you're streaming, you can call us. You can call 215-748-4578. That's area code 215-748-4578. Amen. Our website is on the screen right now. It's www.taylortabernacle.com. Come check in with us. Hit the contact us page. Amen. Let us know that you're interested in this Christian life. Amen. And we will connect with you. We walk with you along this Christian journey. Amen. Amen. We thank You. We thank You all that are here with us today. Amen. Come on. Can we just give God some praise this morning? Glory to God. Can we just walk in our freedom this morning? Hallelujah. Can we just call out to our God who's been so good to us? Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to Your name. God, we're with You. Hallelujah. We thank You and we bless You, God. We love You. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to Your name. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord. Our service now back in the hands of our Deacon McCoy. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. The next part of our service is offering time. Offering time. Now, I'm just playing. But for those of you who are at home, you should be going, woo-hoo! Offering time. Amen, amen. Because this is an opportunity for us to help build His kingdom. That's what offering time is about. Amen. Giving resources to His house so that His word can go out and we can serve this community and this world. Amen. 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 So let us celebrate. I'm going to call up my wife. Cassandra's going to come up for offering time.
Good morning to Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by the U.S. mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offering and one for our preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So we will now transition to the next part of our service, which is I'm going to give the announcement. Woo-hoo! Okay. Amen. 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 So our announcements for the month of July. Our pastor, Jonathan E. Ford, for those of you that are watching online, will be teaching Bible study for the entire month. He's asking everyone to purchase the 40-Day Sugar Fast. It's a book by Wendy Speak, S-P-E-A-K-E. It's called the 40-Day Sugar Fast. It's up to you if you want to follow along in the book as he's teaching, but he's going to be teaching biblically from that book, and you'll need the book to follow. Amen. With a lot of things nowadays, we can get it online, right? Right? And get it Amazon, iBooks, whatever we need to do. Amen? Amen. Now, July 3rd, which would be today, which is normally the first Sunday, we will not have communion today. We will have communion later on in the month. Amen? July 10th, our brother Khalil McFarland will be bringing the word. Amen? Amen. Next Sunday, he's going to bring a good word for us. Amen. And then July 17th, as he's had a chance to recover, our pastor will be back in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. He's been getting stronger and stronger. We know the Lord is a healer. He's also a strengthener. So on the 17th, he will be back to deliver the word from right here. Amen. 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 Let us make him happy when he comes back, right? Let us come out. Let us say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He would love to see everybody who can make it to come to the sanctuary. Amen. And on the 17th is when we will be doing our Holy Communion. Amen. July 24th. Can you say that? Say July 24th. Let's try it again. July 24th. Yeah, let's get that. Let's get it. July 24th. That's when we are having water baptism right down the street at Christ Calvary Church. That will be at 11:30, so that will be right after our morning service. So we'll have a regular service from 10 to 11, then we'll walk right down the street for our candidates for water baptism. If you're interested in becoming a candidate, you should contact the pastor or me. We have some names that have been given to us. For those who want to receive water baptism, before we allow folks to go through the baptism ceremony, there's a class where there's some things that need to be covered. Amen. So reach out to me or the pastor. I'm here if you're here today with regard to baptism. Amen. Amen. Say July 31st. There we go. I heard over there. July 31st. Amen. Back to school Sunday. You know, it's nice. We're having the summer, but at the end of July, those that have graduated are going to be heading off to school and the other ones are going to be getting prepared. But that is when our Young Life Ministry, the YLE, invites you out as we celebrate our 2022 graduates and their accomplishments. We're also going to be awarding the Celeste Williams Scholarship at that time, which I'm going to explain in one moment. But on July 31st, we invite all parents and children out for this special Sunday service. Amen? Amen. Amen. And what I'm going to talk to you about, as I do every year, is the Celeste Williams Scholarship and the application process. Now, for those of you that do not know, you're either visiting with us today, you've visited with us in the past, and you're now watching online, Celeste Williams used to run the Bible study in this house of worship. And she did it for a long time. Can we say that? A long time. Amen? Amen. She was the superintendent for Taylor Tabernacle Sunday School for over 50 years. So when I say a long time, I mean a long time. Amen? Amen. Serving the Lord. She was the primary adult Bible study teacher, and she also earned certificates in courses for reading the Bible in a year. Many pastors credit her for the knowledge that they gained of the Word. And if you don't know, there are many people who left this church, they grew up in this church, and have gone elsewhere and become pastors. They were under her tutelage. Amen? Amen. What? Some plant, some water, right? Amen. Amen. She truly had a passion for teaching the Word of God. She also instilled the importance of education in the youth at Taylor Tabernacle. To continue her legacy, the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund was launched in the spring of 2000. So we've been doing it for 22 years so far. The scholarship is awarded to young students pursuing higher education that excel academically and also in their biblical knowledge and participation. Amen. The Celeste Williams Scholarship is available to students elementary through high school. That's first through 12th grade. The award is presented once a year in July during our Back to School Sunday, which will be on the 31st. The requirements. The student must be a member of our church. Amen. They must be actively participating in the youth ministry, the Young Life Experience. And I'm going to explain that in a moment because even though we've had COVID, there's a lot of things that we have done and our young folks have been participants. They must be actively participating in the ministry, which I'm going to cover also, but that involves things such as the usher board, the choir, dance ministry, maintenance. They must display a consistent Christian conduct. Amen. Both in and outside the church, home and school. Amen. Christian conduct. Not perfection, for none of us are perfect, but Christian conduct. Amen. The student must demonstrate knowledge of the Word of God through Bible basics, scriptural knowledge, and the application of God's Word displayed through their behavior. Once again, we know that that is sort of what we'll call a sliding scale depending on age. But we're paying attention to whether or not our young folks are receiving the word, right? And engaging in proper conduct. Now, for the requirements, must have an 85% overall grade for the year. So that's what we're looking at for these specific scholarships. There may be other things we give out for applications, but for these specific scholarships, we're looking at an 85% or above in terms of their grades. Also, 85% or above in school attendance. Because if you want to succeed at school, you got to be there. Amen? Amen. The deadline for the application to be submitted is July 17th, along with the required documentation, which is an application, which I'll give you some information in a second. So what we're going to need is the application will need to be completed, and then we're going to need the student's report card and attendance card for this past school year. Amen? So however your school has given it to you, we just want you to forward that information to us with the application. And you're going to email your package to the following email address, and that is info@taylortabernacle.com. info@taylortabernacle.com. ERNACLE.com. Amen? Amen. Now, when I talked earlier about participation in church activities, you're going to see things such as Sunday service, Black History Month, offering, announcements, the garden, music, game night. So if there have been a lot of our young folks that haven't been here every Sunday, we've had Zoom activities through YLE throughout the year, participating in that, you get credit for that. We want to make sure that our young folks are engaged in the church. Amen? Amen. Now, for the big part, which maybe the old folks ain't listening for, but the young folks are listening for this, which is, all right, Deke, what I got to write about this year? Because each application we have an essay. This is kind of an essay, but it's, you know, it's something we ask you to write up, but it's not going to be a long essay. Amen? So here, for you young folks that are watching over in the corner over there, watching online, parents who want to make sure you get this, and it'll be on the application, but to tell your children now to start thinking about it. You individually, you young person, Kennedy, Isabella, Gabe, Josh, I'm naming those because they're here. You are asked by the pastor to create or design a Sunday service. So things you can consider, but you're not limited to these things, are whether or not you're going to do a service with a preacher or not, musical performances or things like that, what would be the topic and the theme, what kind of decorations, how long would the service be, and what is the goal of this service. And we're giving you complete control to design what you want. But we do want you to write it up. Now, if you want to write something up and then also draw something to show what you would do, then you can do that too. But we want you young folks, to think about it. The pastor comes to you and says, you know what? Here at Taylor's Tabernacle, we were a Bible-based church. We believe in Christ Jesus. And I want you to put a service together. It's all your ideas. What would you do? That's what we're asking you guys to write up in your application. Amen? Amen. You're free to write what you want. Don't get crazy, though. That's just me talking. But anyway, so the applications are due on the 17th. I believe, where do we say we'll be able to receive these? Is that also where they can get the application? Okay, the application's already on the website. Okay, so you can find the application on the website, print it out, fill it out, and you would send it to that info address. Amen? Okay, and I'm being reminded. So the maximum size would be 3 pages. And that's as far as writing things up. So we don't need super long essays, but if you write a couple pages, bullet points, whatever you want to do, and then you have something with drawing, we want to try to keep it limited in size. Amen? Amen. With that, I am going to step out of the way, bring back our minister, Curitan, for the benediction. Amen.
For this time we had together, amen. I know today, hopefully, you have some celebrations planned. Amen. Some family gatherings, some other activities. Amen. We pray the Lord grant you traveling mercies and that the gospel goes along with you. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we've had together. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for those that you have put around us that encourage us in the faith. And, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be very present in our spirit. And that we would wake up with you on our minds and on our hearts each and every day. So, Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. We place our households in your hands at this time. And we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to do this work that you've begun in us. Perfect it, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Goodbye, everybody.